Today we're looking at Revelation 21. It's on page 1041 of the Pew Bibles. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people. And God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain any more, for the former things have passed away. And he who was seated on the throne said, Behold, I am making all things new. Also he said, Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. And he said to me, It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give from the spring of the water of life without payment. The one who conquers will have this heritage, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. But as for the cowardly, the faithless, the detestable, as for the murderers, the sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars, their portion will be in the lake that burns with fire and sulfur, which is the second death. Then came one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls full of the seven last plagues and spoke to me, saying, Come, I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great high mountain and showed me the holy city, Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, its radiance like a most rare jewel, like a jasper, clear as crystal. It had a great high wall with 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and on the gates the names of the 12 tribes of the sons of Israel were inscribed. On the east 3 gates, on the north 3 gates, on the south 3 gates, and on the west 3 gates. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and on them were the 12 names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And the one who spoke with me had a measuring rod of gold to measure the city and its gates and walls. The city lies four square, its length the same as its width. And he measured the city with his rod, 12,000 stadia. Its length and width and height are equal. He also measured its wall, 144 cubits by human measurement, which is also an angel's measurement. The wall was built of jasper, while the city was pure gold, like clear glass. The foundations of the wall of the city were adorned with every kind of jewel. The first was jasper, the second sapphire, the third agate, the fourth emerald, the fifth onyx, the sixth carnelian, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, the ninth topaz, the tenth chrysoprase, the 11th jacinth, the 12th amethyst. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls, each of the gates made of a single pearl, and the street of the city was pure gold, like transparent glass. And I saw no temple in the city, for its temple is the Lord God, the Almighty, and the Lamb. And the city has no need of sun or moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light, and its lamp is the Lamb. By its light will the nations walk, and the kings of the earth will bring the glory into it, and its gates will never be shut by day, and there will be no night there. They will bring into it the glory and the honor of the eight nations, but nothing unclean will ever enter it, nor anyone who does what is detestable or false, but only those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life.
Thanks very much, Tiffany, and hello. Great to see you. I'm Kev, I'm the minister. Really glad that you've joined us for this evening's service. I want you to imagine the scene. It's your wedding day. Imagine you're the groom, so you're down at the front of the church, the organ's playing, everyone stands, here comes the bride. You turn round, and floating towards you, soon to be your life partner, is that. Best way I can describe it, it's like a giant Rubik's Cube. It's a cube and it's covered in lots of colourful jewels. A giant Rubik's Cube of bling. And you're thinking, why would I marry a giant Rubik's Cube? I don't fancy Rubik's Cubes. I don't think I've ever fancied a Rubik's Cube. And it's just as weird for the girls, because girls, I'm imagining that's not your dream dress that you wanted to come down the aisle with in your wedding day. But look at verse 9. Come, I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb. And he basically gets shown a big, shiny Rubik's Cube of bling. Now, obviously, this is symbolic. There's lots of symbolism in Revelation. And you need to be careful you don't just end up with whatever interpretation that particular preacher wants to put on the symbols. The thing that helps in Revelation is you don't just get the symbols. You get words that explain them. So Revelation 21, verse 9, again, this is our word that explains what we see next. Come, I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb. This picture in Revelation 21 is the bride of God, his church. He wants to marry us. We've started January with this mini-series on church, start of a new church year, start of settling into church for some of us. Maybe you're asking yourself, why bother with church in among the other demands or excitements of your life? We looked at the building, then the body. And finally now, maybe the most striking image of all, the church as the bride. Jesus wants to marry you. There's a question up on the screen. Just with someone beside you for a minute, how does that feel? Okay, let's get back together. It's a familiar idea if you know the Bible, the church as the bride of Christ, but what does it even mean? We've had some wonderful weddings here at Euston Church. I love leading weddings. It's one of the joys of my job. I think this is my favourite wedding picture of all. That's Nick and Linda. They come to the morning service. And the reason that I love that one particularly is because it was actually during COVID restrictions. And even the week before, the rules had changed. There was only 8 of us in the room at their wedding. I was crying because I thought that was such a shame. They beamed their way through the whole thing. They were amazing. And this idea is not about you individually in a big fluffy white dress, but Linda there is the illustration here. History is heading towards a wedding where Jesus will marry his church. And the backstory of the love story, well, we haven't got time. I've put it on the sheet. Feel free to ask any of that in the question time. Huge theme all the way through the Bible. And it means that the future belongs to the church. Catch a glimpse of your destiny, people of God, and see if you agree that patient, faithful endurance as part of the people of God is going to be so, so worth it. First, this bride image, it's about relationship. Verse 2, I saw the holy city coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He'll dwell with them and they will be his people. And God himself will be with them as their God. At the heart of this bride image is God marrying his people and moving in with us. Always encouraging, isn't it, when someone likes you enough to be willing to share accommodation with you. And it's not just during Freshers' Week that we worry, do I actually have any real friends? Well, in our guilt and doubts and insecurities, know this, great news. God wants to live with you in a connection so powerful that marriage would be the appropriate image. Sadly, the devil has so warped our thinking that we could imagine living with God as a bad thing. Verse 4 is what it will actually be like. He'll wipe away every tear from their eyes. Death shall be no more. Neither shall be mourning, nor crying, nor pain any more. Our future with God is without tears. And please know that doesn't mean we're meant to suppress them now. The church on earth should be a place where we're real about our brokenness. Some of our pains, let's be honest, they run so deep they'll be with us for the rest of our lives. Our greatest hope is not that we will be able to make each other feel better in church. It's that one day Jesus will wipe away the tears permanently. Because, end of verse 4, the former things will have passed away. No more anxious nights or lonely days or tragic shocks or scars or abuses. All of that is gone now, and we dwell with the Lord. Really, though? Well, the second thing about the bride image is it says commitment. One of the most profound moments in a wedding where the couple make their promises, solemn vows, we call them. And this paragraph's a rarity in Revelation as the Lord speaks directly from the throne in the first person. Most of the time in Revelation it's, he will do this. No, this is more direct, verse 5. Behold, I am making all things new. Also, he said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. One of my most vivid childhood memories was the day the ice cream van didn't come. Do they have ice cream vans where you come from? Always came on a Friday evening. The kids in our street would make a pilgrimage to the main street where we would wait patiently for the sound of Yankee Doodle Dandy to crank out of a bad sound system. And this one Friday, the van didn't come. And I remember it because I was the ringleader. I was trying to get all the other kids to stand firm, which they did for a while until they all eventually peeled off, apart from my little brother who stayed out of loyalty and because I had his money. But eventually, even we had to face the reality that Mr. Whippy wasn't happening. I'm scarred by it, you can tell. And I love the way that God in his word gets that we're used to disappointments. My story about the ice cream van is highly trivial, but some of you know properly what it means to be let down. People who said they would always love you or be there. People making much smaller promises than we're being promised here. And that's why we say, really? The devil wants us to keep asking that question. Really? Did God really say? Ultimately, this is about his covenant commitment. Verse 7, the one who conquers will have this heritage. I will be his God. He will be my son. That phrase, I will, he will be my son, rings right through the Old Testament whenever God is expressing his solemn vow. I will be your God. Takes us right back to Abraham. I will be God to them. The imagery changes, you can see there in verse 7, from bride to son, but the point is family, loyalty, and commitment. Guaranteed. And we need that guarantee. Well, here on the last page of the Bible, as you look back through the story of Scripture, do you have reasons to believe that God will do what he says as he makes promises and fulfills all the way through the Bible? See, when the Lord says, I will, the testimony of the ages is that he surely will. His personally spoken guarantee to you today, I will be your God. You will be my child. So don't sell yourself to the idols of Rome back then or London today. It doesn't lead to good places. That must have a relationship or job. However much of my godliness I'm going to have to compromise to get it. You know, one day soon, all of this that takes our attention, it will all have passed. Eternity looms for every soul. Eternity. You can trust the one who wants to be with you and say, I will to you, will not disappoint. And then finally, the bride is about our radiance. This is the Rubik's Cube of bling bit. The bride will shine with the glory of God, verse 11. Even the dimensions of this city speak of holiness. It's like a perfect cube, like the Holy of Holies in the temple. And all these jewels, well done, Tiffany, getting the names of them out. It's describing the people shining in verse 19. 12 is a number about God's people. 12 tribes, verse 12. Then 12 apostles as the 12 daddies of the new people of God. Verse 14, 12 foundations, 12 apostles. If you're not convinced yet that this is a description of the church, there's one of the giveaways. And there are loads of people here. The footnote says it's 1,380 miles long. That's the distance from London to Athens. Packed together as described doesn't mean, I think, that we're all going to live in one giant shard. If you want some me time in the new creation, I'm sure there will be facilities available. But we'll be together. Not only loved and committed to, cleaned up. Nothing that makes you feel guilty will be part of you again. Verse 27, where it says at the end, nothing unclean, partly is about the fact that you'll never do anything detestable or false. And I love that because sin has such a grip on us, doesn't it? I hate that it does. Such a battle to love each other, to be church in the way God wants us to be. What a relief it'll be then. Always doing the right thing, always a heart that wants to. I think this is one of the biggest miracles, that I will be fit to be there. We'll be there as God's showpiece. God wants to show the universe his glory in Christ Jesus and his glory, remember, in the church. The world to come is all about the church to come. And I was thinking about some of the things churches in London will talk to you about, transforming culture, intimacy with God, healing community. Amen to churches being beacons of all of those things. But we shouldn't promise heaven on earth in the church because we can't do it. Notice the direction in Revelation. The bride comes down from heaven, prepared by God, not built up by us. So the church on earth fails you when it fails to say, guys, there's more than this. There's more than London. There's more than the church in London. The best is yet to come. We're engaged now to Jesus. And in the future we'll be married. Come, I will show you the bride. He showed me the city. Coming down out of heaven from God. Have another little 1 minute with the person next to you. What do you love about this picture of the future church? Okay, we can carry on those chats later. I want us to finish, before we have the Q&A, thinking about so what, and then we can carry on some of these in the Q&A if you'd like. This is not all head in the clouds future stuff. Revelation was written to real churches that were in real danger of not going the distance with Jesus. You've probably discovered already that it's hard to keep growing in the Christian life. It's brilliant being a Christian, but intense highs and lows often. And if you are investigating faith, you need to know what you'd be getting into. This is written to seven real churches who we hear earlier were some of them dutiful and sound, but where was the love? Some suffering at the world's hands, others seduced. One church had a tabloid-style scandal. In another, they just quietly got rich and prayerless. Wearied, wounded, weak, wobbly, worldly Christians. Kind of encouraging, isn't it, to know that we're not particularly pathetic? Maybe you've been shocked at the ways you struggle to keep going. Shocked by things Christian friends have done or stories you've heard about Christian leaders. Is the church really where the action is? We don't seem to have the impact we want to. We get embarrassed by God's people sometime. Maybe you're embarrassed by yourself. You know, the history of Euston Church, 14 years we've been going now, some really sad stories. Some from this past year, actually, really sad. My dad's very involved in his church. And just before Euston Church started, we were on holiday together and he thought he'd better have a bit of a father-son chat about the fact that I was going to be leading a church. He did it as a friend. He's one of my best friends, my dad. Having lunch with him tomorrow. He said that as an elder in his church, the biggest source of disappointment in his life over the last 30 years had been things to do with church. Disappointments about people, hassles with individuals. But he also said to me that the biggest miracle you could be involved with is the church, because these people are the bride of Christ. And he's properly Scottish, so when he says bride of Christ, it sounds like, you know, bride of Christ. Whoa, real oomph. But he's right, because the church is the most important thing to Jesus. He died for his church. He's never giving up on his precious church. And so we shouldn't either. Nothing is more important to Jesus than getting his precious people to our wedding day with him. And so we'll need to keep this picture of the future church in mind if we're going to keep going as church now. Verses 7 to 8 are realistic. It's for the one who conquers. And then that list in verse 8 of all the things that we could wander into, I mean, probably not all of them. Interesting that sorcerers is on the list. I don't think I'm going to be tempted to become a sorcerer. You know, the 5 p.m. at Euston, they all became sorcerers. I don't think that's going to happen, but I could become cowardly. A bunch of us could wander into sexual sin. A whole church into faithlessness. So I want us to just apply this quickly in three directions. First, that future focus. It's big picture stuff to think about, isn't it? But you guys have big decisions to make at this phase of life. Life-shaping choices about jobs, cities, relationships. This is the ultimately important thing about your future. Your identity as a member of Jesus' glorious church to be. So please make decisions in light of who you are. Practically, will this person I'm thinking of marrying help me to get there? Or how would I make sure I didn't get distracted by career idols if I took that job? It's a long haul, the Christian life. Decisions you make in the next few years will shape you. There'll be times it's hard to stay Christian. Maybe you're in one of those phases now. Conquered, verse 7, it's the right word, isn't it? Because to get to the end and still be going, well, it will feel like having climbed a mountain, fought a battle. And that's why the second thing's important, helping each other to keep going. Can we use this picture of the future to help each other when we're persecuted, tempted, maybe just a bit dry spiritually? And when we're going well, we talked about speaking the truth in love last week. That isn't all about the crisis and the problem moments. When we're going well, we need encouragement to keep it up. Sometimes speaking the truth in love, that could sound grumpy or boring or legalistic. But this is such a positive picture to be talking to each other about. So let's get over the fact that heaven chat can sound cheesy or pious. Talk to me, please, about this city, about the bad things that won't be there. Remind me about Jesus who will. Jesus knows his church. And he thinks this kind of pastoral fuel is just what we need to keep ourselves going. And then finally, looking outward, faithful witness. This talks about people who thirst, verse 6. Of course, many, many people out there in London don't thirst for this. But maybe if they heard a bit more about it, they would. Faithful witness, that's the language of Revelation. It's what the church is on earth. Not just grin and bear it and wait for heaven. A purpose now. We're his showpiece, remember? The ones who proclaim his praises. And yet FOMO. Fear of missing out. If I give myself too much to church. So busy. These people can be annoying. Is it really worth the hassle? I could be top of the class if I used all that extra time to study. All this giving and serving and inviting. Well, guys, you know, this ultimately becomes a question about the character of God. Is he the traffic warden or is he good? Can I trust him when he says, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it? Imagine a real day in the future when you're walking in the gates of this place we've read about. Do you know on that day what grade you got? How much money you earned, who won the football in 2024. That will all be so irrelevant that it would be embarrassing even to mention any of it. Because all you'll be focused on is the God in front of you who can't wait to take you inside to your sin-free, fear-free future. Maybe a bit more time imagining it could help us along the road. Imagine stepping onto a shore and finding it heaven. Imagine taking hold of a hand and finding it God's hand. Imagine feeling invigorated and finding it immortality. Imagine waking and finding it home. Guys, there's more than this. There's a better city. Come soon, please, Lord Jesus. Amen.